I would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband. And yes, it happened. Yesterday, my trip happened. And, you know, my wife may recall a little bit. I have been willing to step out and do things that are a little odd. And often I do them clumsy. Well, you know. So, yesterday, and there was a temptation because it was 99 degrees out and I had a 3-mile hike to do. And I thought, do I really want to do this? Because it was 99 plus it was humid. And so the heat index was like 105 or something of that nature. And, you know, to do that, to do a 3-mile hike, I said, okay, I drank a whole bunch first. I had a full bottle when I left. And I did it, kind of slowed a little bit because I didn't want to get ridiculous. But when I arrived, the pastor was there at the church. There was only one car in the parking lot. He was there. And so I went in and we greeted each other. We kept it to very simple English because he does, obviously, he knows some English. Very quickly thereafter, the interpreter arrived. In this case, it was his son. I think he's like 24. Because he's basically, I think he said he came to the U.S. when he was 4. So he speaks good English, and obviously at home speaks Russian. Which intrigues me why obviously, because I know me as I'm, especially as I've tried to study other languages, when I was young, studied French, Spanish, and obviously German, and just it doesn't work. And now I'm doing Greek, and but there's more of a passion right now with the Greek, but it's not conversational though. That's the problem. But so he may be like that. It just has that difficulty with language. And plus, when you start doing it when you're older versus when you're young, there is a remarkable difference. But anyway, so we sat down and the three of us talked, and it is interesting to go through an interpreter because you have to either do something relatively short. Or because you have those delays and what, that was fascinating. But we did it, and we talked a little bit about the events in Ukraine. I did find out he was born, and I don't remember for sure if he said it was Kazakhstan or something like that nature. Then his family moved when he was very young to Russia, there for several years. Then moved to Ukraine, where he grew up, and then came to the U.S. So his son was born in Ukraine and was there for several years before they moved here. I don't know if they moved here directly or if they moved somewhere else, perhaps even another country. But anyway, the rough idea. So we talked a little bit about that history. We talked a little bit about the events. And I sensed from him a Ukrainian bias. But I also sense he's not really up on what's happening in the sense of, I really don't know. A lot of people in the U.S. are not up on what's happening in the U.S., or they have the surface knowledge. So I wasn't clear enough, but we didn't spend that much time. So that was kind of a little vague to me. Where we probably spent the most time is how do we interact? We did mention the issue of propaganda, and he acknowledged there's a lot of propaganda. He did do the qualifier on both sides. But we didn't talk about anything specific. But it was kind of hard. I don't think I articulated this well, because the issue is, how do you instill, especially into somebody young, to be able to see, oh, I am being led astray. I'm being fed propaganda. And, you know, there are a number of simple things, you know, to look at. Especially at when you start looking for it, it becomes really easy to see. But anyway, we discussed that. That was kind of interesting, but I don't know if we really got to a good point on that. We did discuss the week before, like 8 days ago, 10 days ago, they had the last day of a guest pastor from Moldova. Anyway, who was there, because they have people from that country as members of that church. And he was here to discuss the Institutes program, some of that nature. Because I did listen to him, and he talked about how he went into, I mentioned this, he went to Iran and Afghanistan. So I did mention that yesterday. But we brought that up, and I said, the thing that I missed is I would like to be able to engage someone on that, and I'm trying to learn how to do that and do that politely, because the way he talked about evangelism, especially the way he talked about fight the good fight. I mentioned this specifically when he said they talked about fight the good fight. I said, struggle the good strife, or struggle the good strife, or agonize the good agony. And so the meaning has some issues. Mentioned that, that didn't go anywhere. But anyway, overall, I am extremely pleased I did it. But I don't have anything that I can grab and say, this is what was accomplished. So I think that's where I stand right now. I'm glad I did it. I can't look at something that was accomplished per se. He had at 6, he had another gathering to go to. So that kind of ended that. But I spoke for a few minutes, and I may have overstayed my welcome at that point, because there was another gathering happening in the lobby. And so I was discussing with his son. Is it Elijah? No. Yes? Yeah, I think it's maybe. Anyway, I talked with his son afterwards. And a couple things that were noticeable. One is, you know, a 24-year-old guy, and he looked me in the eyes. I'm finding that very rare now, because most of them are you know, because they have that cell phone addiction, and they won't look at other people directly. And I found that interesting, and I mentioned it to him. The other thing I said, because it was mentioned in the previous service was talking about evangelism, I asked him, what does evangelism mean? And I was really pleased with his response, because the first thing he said, we have to differentiate, I don't remember the word he used, but differentiate between evangelism and disciple. Because I forget the words he used, but evangelism is the idea of to inform, and disciple is to take somebody who believes and go further. And to hear that really pleased me. That really pleased me. Because I would say that was a very good explanation. That was very good. So that encouraged me a lot. But, so I did that. And again, I walked away with, thank you, Lord, I did this. Why? But, absolutely the best thing about the whole event is, I had the desire before I left. I said, "Okay, I'm gonna take the one route, which is slightly shorter to get there. I mean, slightly shorter, less than a quarter mile shorter, I think, to get there. It goes through a different set of different neck of the woods, and it's a different hill I have to go over. But on the way back, I did the Peerless Road, the major road, which is the norm, and I walked by Miss Lillian's house, and I said, well, Lord willing, because I haven't seen her in a few weeks, I wanted to have a visit. And got there, looked, because I only visit when she's out, because she's out constantly. You know, I haven't knocked on the door. But I got there, I looked, Cara was there, but, you know, and it was 6:30 or so. And so it was kind of like, it looks like it's not going to happen. So I continued my walk. I got about 10 feet into the neighbor's, not in their yard, but, you know, past their property line. And I heard, hey, John. I can't express what joy that gave me. Because at that moment, she just happened to be stepping outside of the house, saw me, and called out to me. And, you know, whipped around and went straight to greet her. And we spoke for about an hour. You know, these are not deep conversations. Often I hear the same thing. I didn't this time. But often I hear the same stories again. But, you know, I know a lot about her, especially in the sense of, because she tells me, especially in the sense of the racing she does. You know, she is, as I point out, state champion and rates really high on the national level, because she went to a national track meet or whatever in Florida a few months ago, whatever it was. Then recently just did the state, and she took first place and last place because she was the only one running in her category. But I mean, she ran, I think it was, no, it was only 1.5K. It wasn't very long. And she did talk about how she ended up with some, she got overheated apparently. But so we had that conversation, and while I was there, her son drove up. So we had a three-way conversation for a while. But the whole point of this is, you know, the James 127 has become really, really important to me. And because the other people I visit, two of them, there's five people, five? Basically five that I go and visit. There may be a new one, but that's kind of difficult. It would be slightly different because I can't visit her right now because she's in prison. But that's another issue. And that's the only reason I do that is because of Gary, the guy who's dead. And Lynn, the woman's mom. She was all, you know, Lynn's also dead, and Ree's in prison. I mean, it's, anyway. But, so a couple of the people that I've been visiting are dead. The one guy, Mike, I noticed it slightly, he seemed to be distancing himself, because I think he was living in fear. I had a better visit last time. I'm not, there's another gentleman who I haven't seen in a while. Anyway, but it's the James 127 that's such a big deal. The idea of visiting orphans and widows, because that is true religion. And to visit orphans and widows, it's the episkeptomai. It's the noun version of episkopos, the overseer, which is the same thing or similar to, based on, the watchman, the skopos of Ezekiel. And it's, as I've put that together, it seems that part of the reason I went to the Russian church was to do the work of the skopos, the watchman, because I'm trying to reach the young and warn them. They're under attack. And I did mention at the time, you know, one of your problems is Facebook, because Facebook's going to be a killer to the Christian community. I won't go in that again. But either way, you know, in seeking to do that, the miraculous way, and I really think it was a miraculous way that the Lord put Miss Lillian into my life, just kind of amazes me. And that bond that we have now. I mean, this is love. If you want an example of what love is, and you know, I feel it both ways. And so the big deal about yesterday is not the visit to the Russian church. It was seeing Miss Lillian. I was so thankful all the way home. And I'm really excited about it. Anyway, last thing, I did get an email in reference to EG. So let's schedule our to get the lab up and running next week, because there are issues here, because obviously income has dropped to zero from this. So there's a problem here. And by the way, I did a lot of work on the emails on my web servers, and it is fascinating, because now I mentioned where Kozlowska.org is a honeypot, and I'm seeing the rubbish that is being sent. Well. Right now, what I'm seeing most recently is a whole bunch of emails coming to john.kozlowski@heritagesystems.com, which used to be the email address I used for years, way back in the 1990s. And obviously, I haven't used it but it is spam. I'm seeing a lot of stuff of... I'm seeing that, and I saw yesterday a bunch... Well, and it's there because, you know, anyway, of stuff from, now I have the ability just to look here. Because bella@el.kozlowski.org, a whole bunch of stuff. The el.kozlowski.org, the Erica Lee, bunches of stuff. At that address, and I find that fascinating. I mean, bunches of stuff. But anyway, so this has been fascinating, and the tools have matured greatly, and I want to be able now to send a message. And my goal was to be today or tomorrow, and I spent so much time cleaning things and making things really nice that I don't know if I'm going to make it, and I'm stressed. But... you know, the one thing that I discussed this with my friend Chris today. I felt, because this has happened now multiple times with Miss Lillian, where I would be past her house, and in one case she was driving in, and it's kind of like, oh, well, I'm turning around and go back. And yesterday, you know, the Hey John thing, and of course the one time that was so great. Is I was getting near, and she was outside with both of her sons, the one visiting from Chicago, they were outside, and the wave over, you know, that come to us wave. I mean, that was an invitation, and I found that so marvelous. But either way, the point was, what I noticed is that I had the desire. And it looks like it wasn't going to happen. And after I was past the point that I was going to continue on, then the desire suddenly got fulfilled. And I wonder if the Lord was kind of trying to give me a hint of pursuing what I'm pursuing right now, that I might get past something and then he'll fulfill the desire. And of course, the question is, I don't want to be presumptuous. I don't want to be, I don't want to read in something false. But I've seen so often, you know, it was the time when things, when I had hit bottom, when I was living in a homeless shelter, and I asked the Lord, if you want me to restart, you know, and I remember the prayer, would you put $5,000 in my hand out of somewhere? And I said, no, make that $10,000. And it was like 2 weeks later, I got a phone call in the morning with somebody and says, you own HSNC.com. Would you be willing to sell it to me for $10,000? And a few hours later, I had $10,000 in my bank account. And it was kind of like, whoa. You know, and of course, that's when, you know, an hour later or less, I had $1,000 to my wife's bank account. And because of the fact I didn't go through the state, there was no credit to it. And that, so obviously I don't do that anymore, which is unfortunate. But anyway, so I don't want to live in hype, in a false assurance, but I don't want to deny it, especially when they're the hints. So I want to press on with diligence. And I press on in obedience to Christ, even when it seems there's no hope. I'm hoping in some way to hear, in reference to what I'm doing right now, some form of, hey, John. You know, my fear, my stress this week was to be well prepared for Wednesday. My stress was to get the right words to that letter that I sent to Daniel Hale on Tuesday. Those were the big deals. The fact that I was told on Monday that, hey, here's your last little bit, and it's a partial jack, and that's it. You know, that obviously would be a big deal, but it's of the three that was at the bottom of the heap, by far. And maybe I'm foolish. Well, yes. But anyway, I am so glad. Yesterday I heard some tremendous music in the form of, hey, John. The Lord blessed me that yesterday. I want to bless others, especially the lady I love. The lady I'm committed my life to, the lady I'm one flesh with, Dorothy Jane, my wife. I love you, and I want you back.